a convention of states could take easily a month if the idea was to come to the convention and submit proposals at that time and then debate and discuss. It would take way too much time, and I think it would be almost impossible to get done.
This is Christian Gomez for the New American Magazine, and I'm joined today for the pleasure of speaking with former Florida State Representative Mike Hill. Representative Mike Hill, thank you for joining us today here at the New American.
Christian, thank you for having me.
So you were recently invited and actually attended this Convention of States simulation that was held in Williamsburg, Virginia. Can you just briefly tell us your take on the event, how it went, and your thoughts on it?
Sure. Yeah, I was contacted by the Convention of States Foundation and asked if I would participate. And at first I was a bit hesitant because I didn't know what it was all about, but after learning more, I said yes. And so I did attend the event. It started on a Wednesday evening with a reception and a keynote address by Patrick Henry, who gave his famous Give Me Liberty or Give Me Death speech, very well done. Then we started early the next morning, Thursday at 8, with a general assembly in our conference room. From there, we broke out into three different committees. There was a committee on financial constraints, a committee on judicial activism, and another committee on states' rights, to basically summarize it. I was on a fiscal constraints committee. So we broke up into our three committees. Each committee spent the entire day of Thursday trying to determine what proposals they wanted to bring to the floor, which would be on Friday, which we did. So on Friday, we were there. There were about 132 delegates. The intent was to have three delegates from each state. My state, Florida, had three delegates, and most of the states did have three. There were some who had two, and Rhode Island did not send any delegates at all, which is interesting. Just like the original convention, Rhode Island was not there. So Rhode Island did not participate in this. And then we spent Friday presenting and debating the proposals which came from each of the committees. And we had to put a time constraint on the amount of time we were going to spend on each proposal. And it was obvious that there was a lot more discussion that wanted to be held, but because of time constraints, we cut it off and went ahead and voted on the proposals, which all three passed with very large margins. And we spent a day doing that. Let me back up just a bit. We started off on Friday with a presentation of George Washington, an individual in character who performed George Washington's farewell address. And we finished the day around 4 p.m. and took a group photo. The entire event was, as I understand it, on Friday, was being filmed and live streamed. My impression of the overall session was that, one, it was taken very seriously by the attendees. We understood the importance of displaying, if a convention of states were to happen, what could it possibly look like? And so it was taken very seriously. It was a solemn procession where we elected a president of the convention and a vice president, and then broke out into our various committees, came back together and sat as a state Each state, it was alphabetically arranged. And as we would vote on various proposals, it was done alphabetical order by state. My overall impression was that I was impressed by the organization and the effort that was put into just putting this event together.
Now, so this event, you mentioned that on Wednesday, there was a reenactor of Patrick Henry who spoke. So the work really began on Thursday, which means you only really had 2 days to hold this mock or simulated convention. Is that correct?
That's correct.
So
yes.
All of the amendments were drafted on Thursday. When the convention president was elected, I believe it was Ken Ivory of Utah. Was there any other nominations for other convention presidents, or was a pretty unanimous decision? Ken Ivory's nominated and he was elected president.
No, Ken Ivory was actually the president only to open the convention. And then we actually elected a new president. That was Woody Jenkins out of Louisiana. And Jason Rappert was the vice president. There was a slate of officers, four originally. One dropped out, and then there were three. And we voted as to who was going to be the Senate president and vice president. Ken Ivory was not the president of the assembly.
Okay. Now, with regards to the voting at the convention, the simulation, it was one state, one vote. Was there any debate from other delegates from states like maybe California or New York or any state that suggested that perhaps voting should be by state population? Or was there just general consensus among the delegates at the room that that's not even a question? It should just
be
one state, one vote.
That's correct. Yeah, there wasn't even any discussion on that. It was accepted that it would be one state, one vote.
Okay, and so you were considered one of the official delegates from Florida, one of the three?
Yes. I was contacted initially, myself, and the original delegation team from Florida was myself and two other currently elected state representatives, but the other two were unable to attend because of conflicts in their schedule. So the Convention of States Foundation asked me if I would help find others in Florida, and I did. I found a gentleman named James Callinger, who was a previous member of the Florida House. And then he was able to recruit and find Dennis Ross, who was also a previous state house member, but also went on to Congress. He currently is not in Congress. I believe he's working at a university here in Florida.
Okay, I understand. So was there a lot of debate with regards to the amendments that came out of the Thursday sessions that Friday morning? Was there a lot of contention, or was it pretty just a smooth transition from presentation to vote in favor of the amendments?
No, there was a lot of discussion. None of the proposals were received without much debate and discussion. And that was why we had to initially put a time constraint on the amount of discussion that was taking place. Otherwise, it would have continued. And if there was one thing that I observed, Christian, was that what this simulation showed was that if there is going to be a if there is going to be a convention of states, that what is going to be debated and voted on must be determined before the convention actually takes place. Otherwise, I think it's impossible to get done because of the amount of debate, because of the amount of discussion that was taking place. I could see, unless it was determined beforehand, a convention of states could take easily a month. if the idea was to come to the convention and submit proposals at that time and then debate and discuss, it would take way too much time. And I think it would be almost impossible to get done. Just like the original convention almost did not get done until Benjamin Franklin stood up and said, gentlemen, I think we need to go pray before we continue. And after 3 days of prayer, we came up with a convention, with a constitution. And so it was obvious this time too, we had to put constraints on ourselves. And without that being done, we would not have been able to pass the mock proposals that came before the simulation.
With regards to the delegates who came from all of the states, what was the political makeup of most of these delegates? Would you say it was an even split Democrat Republicans, or did you have Democrats come from California and New York, Illinois, and other blue states, or was it mostly Republican conservative leaning lawmakers who represented each of their states' legislatures?
Yes, it was mostly conservative Republican lawmakers from each state. I contacted the foundation a couple of days before the simulation, and I was curious and asked, what is the makeup, the political makeup? How many Republicans and how many Democrats are coming? And they said, we could not get any interest from the Democrats. They did not want to participate at all, which was interesting. However, at the convention, I did meet a handful of Democrats. I don't know the final tally, but I did meet three or four Democrats who were there. And even the ones who were there were conservative or right-leaning Democrats. The delegates from California who I sat with in committee and also close to them on the floor, simply because we were seated alphabetically, they were also very conservative, as were those from New York and Illinois and other blue states. They were conservative Republicans who attended in the vast majority.
Now, the state of Illinois has a super Democrat majority legislature. Do you think that this convention simulation simulated the realities of an actual convention in terms of who delegates would likely be from the actual states? Because if Congress was to really call an Article 5 convention, I'm sure Democrats would be more interested in the actual convention versus a simulation put up by the Convention of States organization.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I don't believe that the delegates who were there was actually represented of who would attend an actual convention of states. I was a member of a group called Assembly of State Legislatures, which originally formed back in 2015, I believe it was, where the first meeting was in Mount Vernon, second meeting was in Indianapolis, then we had a meeting in Washington, D.C., and a final meeting in Denver, which I was unable to attend. And back then, we were trying to determine what would the rules look like if there was a convention. And what we agreed would be the most likely choice from each state would be the House Speaker for each of the various states would be the delegate who would attend, or their immediate person after them, if they were an alternate, is the word I was looking for, their immediate alternate if they were unable to attend. But we thought the intent would probably be the speaker from each of the different states, because then you're talking about an elected official who should be representing the majority of the citizens of that state.
Of course, that idea is not in Article 5. Article 5 doesn't state who the delegates would be. In fact, we don't even know that they may even be state legislatures. Congress, in its call, could determine to For example, in 1973, Congress passed the Federal Constitutional Convention Procedures Act. It was passed in the U.S. Senate, I believe, and didn't pass the House. It passed one of the chambers, didn't pass the other. But it was the closest to Congress actually passing rules for an actual convention. And one of the proposals in that resolution, which did not pass, was that the states would hold elections within each congressional district, and then that individuals would be allowed to run for delegates for the position of commissioners for the convention, with ultimately the convention being one based off the population of states. That was the proposal at the time in the 70s, and also the American Bar Association has in the past said that a convention should be in that method. So given that, do you think that there would be much debate in the future with regards to a convention in terms of should it be one state, one vote, or should the delegates be legislators or individuals, private citizens being able to run for office as a delegate? Should Congress decide it to be by election process?
Well, as you know, Christian, that was a heavy debate at the original convention of how many votes should a particular state be able to have as they were debating and putting our original constitution together. And it finally came down to one vote, one state. And I think that is what we have to try to adhere to. That's my opinion. Even though there are the more populous states, California, Texas, Florida, who may think that they should have more votes because they represent more people. I think if we're going to make this fair, that it should be one vote, one state. That's my opinion, and that is what we as Assembly of State Legislators also determine. Now, for this particular simulation we put together, there were three delegates. That was the intent from each state. But each state still only had one vote per state. So what we did in Florida was we elected a chairperson who was James Callinger. And we would, as a proposal was being debated, we would just kind of huddle amongst ourselves informally and agree to decide then whether we were for or against an amendment to a proposal or to that proposal itself. And so when they did the roll call, it was one vote coming from Florida. And we were pretty unified on how we decided we would vote on the debates and on the proposal themselves.
Okay, very good. Well, actually, we've run out of time, Representative Hill, thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule to discuss with us what you saw at the simulation and your thoughts on it. We always appreciate having you on here at the New American. We wish you the best. And, of course, take care and God bless you.
Thank you, Christian. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate being on your show.
Thank you.
I certainly would not want a constitutional convention. I mean, whoa. Who knows what would come out of that?
Just imagine if we have a constitutional convention, the number of people who will be unhappy and the number of people who say the results are not valid, and then they'll just ignore the entire constitution.
What we need are just more people that would read the one we have.
It isn't the constitution that's the problem. It is the people who ignore the constitution that usurp power and abuse the constitutional power that they ostensibly have.
If you can't enforce an existing piece of paper, how are you going to enforce a piece of paper that has a little more writing to it? In other words, it's been amended.
It's up to us to hold our elected officials accountable.
What can you do to elect good representatives and senators in your state legislature who understand the Constitution and are willing to take a stand?